Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. Successful startups are never built in a vacuum. As any entrepreneur knows, it takes a vision, an idea, a business plan, but it also takes connections and conversations, feedback, networking, all of those intangible human variables that go into how and why a startup gains traction and establishes itself. Enter the Startup Accelerator. It sounds like what it aims to do. Accelerate your business. Venture Hall is a startup accelerator based in Portland, Maine, and Mike Sobel is co-founder, and Mike joins us on the phone. Mike, how are you?
I'm great. Will, how are you?
I'm great. So we're excited to have you on and to talk about this idea of the Startup Accelerator and everything that you guys are doing. Before we talk specifically about Venture Hall, tell us about the concept of a Startup Accelerator and how it can help someone turn a great idea into a successful business.
Yeah, so accelerators tend to focus on a different kind of enterprise known as an innovation-driven enterprise. That's what I mean when I'm talking about the word startup, not necessarily any small business. These are companies that are trying to create new products, new services. They're often built on new technologies or business models that haven't been done before.
Okay, so it's not necessarily like you're a landscape design company unless they were doing something radically new with online design or something like that.
Exactly. There's a lot of experimentation involved.
Okay.
And they can't just launch and then execute in the way you could a landscape business or a pizza shop because there aren't templates for exactly what they're trying to do. There's a great deal more learning that has to happen. And what they're trying to do, in fact, is find a scalable and repeatable business model, something conventional businesses already have figured out, but these new products and services and technology haven't arrived there yet. So the accelerator process is designed to help compress what's usually a 1 to 3 year learning process into just 3 months.
Okay. So it certainly takes a longer amount of time to get something like this going. But a lot of our economy today is driven by what you're calling innovation-driven enterprises, right? Or at least a lot of people are out there trying to start businesses that are based on this idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting because one of the things that happens when you have large companies who shed employees or you have fast-growing companies that have exits where people have an opportunity to kind of cash out of an investment. You have people with deep skill sets and insight who kind of become free radicals. And it's often those people who have key insights into an industry who are the ones who start a new startup company that creates a lot of brand new value in the economy.
And so let's dig in a little more specifically to what you're doing there in Maine. You're in a lovely part of the country, but I know you can work with people anywhere. You are, however, working with two leading health organizations in Maine. Tell us about your decision to locate the business there and why you chose to focus on health as a key area of focus for Venture Hall.
Sure. So my wife and I relocated here from Colorado. We met here a long time ago, and we wanted to move back and be closer to family, and we just enjoy this part of the country very much. So that was what prompted the location here. As a serial entrepreneur, I'm addicted to solving problems. And I saw an opportunity to fill a need here in the community. And our health and wellness focus was a strategic choice to align our work with two pillars in the community. Maine Health, the largest health system in the state with 17,000 employees. Unum is the largest disability insurer in the country with about 9,000 employees, located in other places in addition to here in Portland. And innovation and building startups, it's often seen as a marginal activity, something that kind of happens in the garage, so to speak, sometimes literally. But we want to make it feel mainstream and inclusive, not just because that feels better, but because it works better. So in the course of our program, we've included over 100 employees from Maine Health and Unum to work as subject matter experts to help these startups who came from all over the country to work in this program to move their products forward faster because they can't do it on their own. You can't just divine how a new business is going to work. You have to confront the realities of business and folks inside of large high-performing organizations like Maine Health and Unum can help them do that.
And so when you work with organizations like these or the startups that come in for your training events, what can someone expect when they take part with Venture Hall?
Well, you can expect to be challenged. Innovation isn't about ideas. Not really. It's about real solutions to real problems. And those, finding that kind of value, conferring real value onto a consumer or another business, is something that you can't just brainstorm or talk about. There has to be action. There has to be experimentation. People talk about things like fail fast and fail early. That's part of the process. There's actually a state of the art to it. It's not a willy-nilly kind of thing. So it's no exaggeration to say that anyone can learn to innovate. We work with people from all walks of life. It's not just for nerdy 20-something guys who develop software. It's really for anybody who thinks that whatever status quo it is they're looking at in their business and in the way the world works, something that's frustrating to them, they have an opportunity to create a new adaptation and actually make a real impact. The thing is, you know, going back to this notion of what could you expect, you can expect not to be coddled. You can expect to be challenged. You can expect to prove that whatever it is you think is worthwhile is, and gain the evidence for that as quickly as possible.
And two follow-ups on what you're saying there. I love this idea of brainstorming can be a consuming activity, and the idea that a lot of us are really good at brainstorming and maybe even coming up with some cool ideas, but it's taking that idea or set of ideas and putting it into action where sort of where you really learn if something's going to be successful.
Right. We had so many fantastic conversations with, let's say, a startup had an idea that works in anesthesiology, very mm-hmm. specifically in the hospital environment. And then he gets to talking with an ER doc and finds that his specific application doesn't necessarily work in the emergency room setting, where it works in a normal surgical setting. But then in the course of this conversation, discovers there's an entirely different application where his new medical device could actually make an impact. And he wouldn't have known that. Two things. One, he wouldn't have known that his device was not important in the ER unless he starts having real conversations with how that's different than a you know, regularly scheduled surgical procedure.
Sure.
But the flip side was that he didn't realize there was this huge potential business opportunity to use his product in a different way. And that's, you know, going back to that notion of brainstorming or sitting around a table or whiteboarding stuff. He couldn't have known that until the expert was giving her feedback. She didn't know anything about startups. She doesn't have to. All she needs to do is have her expertise and share it with him in a constructive way.
That sounds like almost a true story. Is that one that actually happened?
It's a very true story. And yeah. Halfway through that interview, the company founder was looking at me, the startup founder, and he was kind of stumped because it wasn't really going anywhere. And there's a lot of technique to how these interviews happen. We just kept asking her questions, and then this entirely new branch of the conversation opened up, and she started getting excited. He started getting excited. It's the discovery process is really, it's fascinating. It's frustrating at times, but when you find those gold nuggets tucked away where you don't know where you're going to find them, it's really an incredible feeling.
And there must be times where failure comes into the equation, not necessarily just failure, but where somebody might have an idea and you've got to really maybe lead them in it or potentially lead them in a different direction or massage that idea in a different way. Not saying, hey, this is a bad idea, but let's think about it like this.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things that happens a lot for startups is they get something called mentor whiplash. One person says, I think this is how it ought to go based on my experience. Another person says, well, I think this is how it ought to go. And they're kind of doing the pundit thing, like you see on, you know, cable news. Hey, everybody can have an opinion. Everybody's often wrong more than half the time. The thing is, the evidence will tell you one way or another what's true or not. And that the startup founder has to distill down that information they're getting. So our job really is to ask hard questions. And if they can't answer them, they ought to be able to be the one who can come to the new conclusion versus, hey, I think you ought to do it this way. Because honestly, if that person's doing something truly groundbreaking, I don't know the answer. Nobody knows the answer. That's why it's groundbreaking. Yeah. If it looks like something I already agree with, it's probably not even that interesting.
Right. Let's talk about existing businesses. How can they help startups thrive? And what are some of the reasons businesses should even help a startup in the first place? What's in it for them? What are some of the overall advantages in the marketplace?
Oh, there's several. A number of studies have shown that new companies are the engine of growth in the U.S. They have been for decades. And startups, if successful, they tend to create more jobs more quickly and higher paying jobs than a lot of conventional businesses do. The most important thing existing businesses can do is lend their expertise, make introductions, encourage startup founders in their effort, because more jobs means more paying customers for everyone. And besides that, the skills founders build as they work to launch their startups tend to be the very things most employers want. Their interpersonal skills, their problem solving, strategic thinking, communication, prioritizing, time management, resilience. These are things that are any employer would be glad to have. And at the same time, in the practice of working with startups, it's not uncommon for these new skills to filter in and these new perspectives to filter into the company that's doing some of the mentoring. So it's a very helpful, a healthy exchange between two parties. They both have things that each other wants, and if they work well together, they can make a real and near-term economic impact.
And that's a really important point, because it speaks to startups not happening in a vacuum, and that in your case, you've actually attracted and now have involved two very big companies in Maine who are saying, yeah, this matters to us. This is important in the overall marketplace, the overall economy, and this back and forth conversation matters.
Absolutely. Think of it like an estuary. It's always being refreshed with new ideas, new talent. One of our philosophies is that talent and capital flow toward opportunity.
Yeah.
If you create that chance, people will come find it.
Yeah. I like that, the startup estuary. It's a nice image. You're not just focusing on health or even just startups in Maine. Tell us about some of the other businesses you're working with or hoping to bring on board.
Well, we're working on a code school program that helps adults make career transitions into software development. It's a very focused program. Individuals can go from zero to a well-paying entry-level job in software development in the span of months, not years.
That's amazing.
It is. It's based on a program developed with a partner out of Seattle. They're hiring people into Amazon pretty much constantly right now. They can't even keep up with demand because the need for software development is far outpacing the supply. And there's tons of underskilled people who could take advantage of that. They just don't know how.
Yeah.
And they can't do it on their own. We're talking with several colleges and universities about supporting their entrepreneurial programs. We're also working on building school age programming to teach younger students about problem solving, particularly in the entrepreneurial environment, the unstructured kind of problem solving that's unlike a lot of what typical education looks like. It helps kids understand what it means to have that problem focus and be able to marshal resources to do something that's important to them. So, you know, those aren't necessarily some of the other businesses. We are generally in pursuing all of these activities and supporting local startups. We're actually sector agnostic. So if somebody comes to us from a nonprofit, from a small business, from a different kind of startup, we're working with folks on the notion of hyper adaptability. That's, if there's one thing that could summarize all the work we do, it's how to teach people to be hyper adaptable and change faster than the environment is changing around them so they can take control of it versus outcomes being dictated to them.
And with the idea that they are all more or less innovation driven, as you pointed out at the very beginning.
Exactly.
Probably
yes,
more
there
so.
There are a lot of programs and very good ones that can teach people how to execute on best practices in accounting and marketing and doing things that support the way business operates. There's this other class of business development that involves these new cutting edge things. And a great deal of what we teach is out of books that haven't made it into MBA programs yet. They're only a few years old. And so this state of the art in innovation is always probably going to be only several years old as it continually evolves and kind of leads the way to how new businesses get into the market.
All right. Well, if any of our listeners are innovation-driven startups, entrepreneurs, people looking to learn more about Venture Hall, visit venturehall.org, right?
That's right.
And Mike, if an organization gets involved with you, how much time, just sort of back to basics before I let you go, would they plan on needing to invest in terms of coming to visit you or be on the phone, however it might work to really accelerate their business?
You know, we're extremely adaptable.
Okay.
And very flexible. Sometimes that starts with a 1 30-minute phone call.
Yeah.
To triage the situation and it all depends on where we go from there. So it could end up being a several-month engagement. with weekly meetings. It could be that somebody's a fit for the accelerator and comes and locates themselves in Portland for several months. But a lot of startups, you know, many people don't realize they exist in kind of a startup mode for several years, sometimes up to 10 years.
Wow.
And so our work is ongoing. And, you know, we don't want to give people the impression that the startup is several months.
Yeah.
And then you know, stand on stage and talk about it and everything.
Right.
Wonderful. It goes into a period of growth and experimentation that can last several years. And we're supporting several startups in our community who are in that phase. And they're doing very, very good work, but it's the kind of work that people don't know about. And it takes a lot of resilience. It takes a lot of coaching. And that's how we spend a great deal of our time.
Well, it's really cool work. And I think for people who are listening who might be trying to get an idea off the ground or are in the midst of it and need some help, would like to learn more from you. It's really great stuff. Visit VentureHall.org. And Mike Sobel, again, co-founder of Venture Hall, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me, Will.
And if you'd like to learn more about the Better Business Bureau and our podcast, you can visit us at BBB.org for the Better Business, Better Series podcast. I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.